Good morning. It is so good to have you back on the show. I'm Twanda Black. And you know what? It's holiday time. It's the end of the year. We're going into a new year. And for most of us, we need to make some changes. We really do. Joining us is our wealth strategist, Stephen LeBroy. He's chief strategist at the LeBroy Insurance Group, LLC. And his tagline is, "We are the legacy change." How are you this morning?
I am great. I'm extremely excited to be here this Sunday morning. I mean, this is a great day going into the new year, end of this year. Oh, no, this is the time to talk.
Oh, yes, my gosh. It came so fast. I don't know what happened to the year, but I just feel like I was just here. It's like deja vu, a Groundhog Day. It was like, weren't we just here? It's amazing. It just went by so fast.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, there's only 60 seconds in a minute. Start counting them, and they will count down, that's for sure.
Okay. So today, we're talking about millennial banking concept and the strategy of it. And first of all, you know, it's so funny because in a corporate environment, I was learning about this group and about, you know, who they are. And it's funny because now they don't like to be called millennials. But I said, but we're baby boomers, Gen Xers. We're, you know, traditionalists. It is what it is. Gosh, get over it. I mean, that's just your generation. We're not calling you personally, you know. So it's just interesting. And one of the things is that they have thin skin, that they are sensitive. I was like, okay, all right. But let's talk about money and the millennials.
Yes. You know, my whole thing came from just studying history and understanding what you just mentioned, baby boomers, Gen Xers, millennials. Everybody's got a title, and the title is just based on normally based on the times in which they've come through.
Exactly.
Mostly the economy. Mm-hmm. You know, mostly what they were taught, what you're trained, what's happening. And there's some distinctions for sure, Twanda, that millennials have versus Gen Xers and baby boomers. And love to talk about that today. I'm excited.
Yeah, let's talk about that. You know, millennials have different set of values and options and challenges and means, just like we all did. I'm a Gen Xer. I'm actually not a baby boomer, according to, but some say I'm a baby boomer. Some say I'm a Gen X, but I'm a Gen Xer. And I'm in the middle of the baby boomers and the millennials. And it's really interesting, their sets of values and our sets of values and the baby boomer sets of values. They're all might be sort of the same, but not really.
Yeah. You know, when you really talk about this and you really understand it, you know, most people understand it from how they work and manage and deal with their family members. Mm-hmm. But baby boomers, we talk about all the time, is a huge population of people that they say 10,000 of them every day are turning 65 for a large number of years. And that is happening right now. And then Gen Xers, which I am with you, Twanda, we are a generation of folks that are post-civil right. We are the generation of folks that went through affirmative action. Those of us that remember affirmative action as young adults, you know, affirmative action was the benefit of the civil rights era when corporations started opening their doors. Opportunities for business started becoming more open
for people of
and
color. So, and also, you know, college might have been a little less for us, or you know, within affirmative action, people came to recruit us actually for their colleges because we, in most instances, were some of the first ones, first generations to actually go to college. If you can believe that, that was in the 70s and the 80s. That's amazing.
Yes, it is. I mean, if you think about it, a lot of us were, our parents were coming out of the Industrial Revolution, coming out of factories or still working in the auto industry, which a lot of them still work now. But I'm from the steel belt. So when we went to school, some of us were going to college for the first time, as you mentioned. And there were even some of my friends who went to graduate school for free.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Oh, my goodness. Whew, won't see that today.
Not today. Not at all, I tell you. But, you know, when we talk about millennials, the next segment of folks, mm-hmm. we're talking about that technological generation.
Yes.
I saw 5-year-old babies with cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about a generation of people who never knew anything but the internet.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. The internet was always available. You know, we had Encyclopedia Britannica.
I loved it. Read every one of them cover to cover. Loved them. And now they're online.
Yeah, they're gone, and yeah. You got it in your hand.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes, yes.
In the palm mm-hmm. of your hand, as long as you can get a Wi-Fi signal, you mm-hmm. can reach out to the world. So this group of people, though, I mean, are very, very fortunate and can be and will be extremely powerful. I just talk about it from a financial perspective because finances stay the same. They've been the same for over 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to have money to cover your needs and your wants, and that's for sure. So as you're starting to build your idea about money, it's based on what you do for a living, but the idea is, what are we going to do when we get the money in our hands? How do we manage it through our lifetime?
Yeah.
You know, how do we deal with our needs and our wants?
And I want to go back and make a point about applying for jobs, whereas we went in and shook hands and did eye to eye. People judged you when you walked in the door. And now it's online. And one of my cousins, young, in their 20s, didn't know how to fill out a job application. And we were like, what? But when you think about it, they've never had to. Not really. They go online and do it. But when he had a paper application, which is very, very different today. And he was like, what does this mean? What does that mean? And I was like, really, dude? Didn't know any of the terms or anything. So it's interesting. It's just interesting, you know? I've got two millennials, so yeah.
No, I love it because, you know, I've had parents tell me that, you know, their son or daughter told them that they were looking for a job, but they never left the house.
Right. Sitting in their pajamas. Looking for a job. Because you remember, shoot, they said if you didn't get out 8 o'clock looking for a job, 8 o'clock to 5 p.m. like a real job, right? Not
today. You had to get up and be dressed.
You had to get early.
That's for sure.
Get on the bus to train. If you had a car, if you were blessed, and get out there. You had to beat the pavement every day. It's so different.
It is a different day. And even us Gen Xers and some of the baby boomers who are still working mm-hmm. because of these recessions have to acclimate ourselves to what the millennials are going through. If we don't know how to operate this technological equipment,
right.
then we're going to be in trouble as well. But I mean, here goes. I mean, we're talking about the millennial banking concept and the whole idea about creating a source of funds, the human equity line of credit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the idea is that you got to have money every day, every week, every month. And you got to plan for the next decade. That's very important to do.
Yes. You're talking about and different money because now this cryptocurrency, Bitcoin and some other stuff is coming on. And you're reading more and more about this cryptocurrency. Can you just break that down for me for a minute?
Well, yeah, I can tell you. It's in the technology realm. It is a new form of currency that, you know, is defined. Cryptocurrency is a basically Bitcoin, or there's 1,200 other cryptocurrencies that are out there. They all run on this technology called the blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you got to start studying because they're saying that it could take the place or be additional to our regular fiat money,
right.
which is our paper money.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I was reading about that last week. And you know, you've seen it. We've seen it. And now they actually have Bitcoin machines in some countries.
Oh, my God. I can tell you, I saw one here in Washington, D.C. And I'll tell you, it scared me because it just allowed you to know that the future
mm-hmm.
is here.
It's here. Exactly.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it is here today.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a lot that we have to learn, but I think the concepts are pretty similar. You got to be prepared to understand how your money works today, next week, next year,
that's right.
and even the next decade, because all the situations that we go through, problems, challenges, opportunities, are the same as in past generations.
Tell us about the millennial banking concept and what it is and how it works. And although we're saying it's a millennial banking concept, does it apply to everybody?
Well, definitely, yes. It is a takeoff of what I found of the infinite banking concept, a book called The Infinite Banking Concept. The author of that concept is R. Nelson Nash. He authored a book called Becoming Your Own Banker. So we developed the millennial banking concept off of that strategy to, you know, to apply to a lot of the things that we do every day. As you asked me, I'll tell you about this whole millennial banking concept strategy where you are the collateral. You're in control. You're the collateral in the situation. Two, it helps you build guaranteed savings for current and future spending. So again, you know, you're going to need money today. You're going to need money tomorrow. It also builds an immediate asset that you control. I mean, a lot of times it takes us years to obtain an asset that goes in our net worth that is recognized by banks and other institutions. This is an immediate asset. You create habits of tracking money, not budgeting, but tracking finances for all your needs and wants. You know, it begins to get clarity in all this, what I call white noise, which is, you know, all the advertising that's out there. And also, it, you know, keeps your money compounding. You know, Einstein called compound interest one of the wonders of the world. So money compounding actually makes more money.
So
a lot of people understand that.
Can we stop right there? Because I want to know, what are the first steps in millennial banking? What does one have to do to open an account and to get started? Because you're going to start talking about some other stuff beyond that. But I wanted to know, where do you start? How do you start that, since we are the collateral?
Well, with us being the collateral, you sit down with one of our strategists and you start looking at your entire portfolio and how you do business currently. And then we help you look at a different perspective, a different way of doing business, so that you can begin to become that collateral piece, that savings for current and future spending, so that you can create that immediate asset. We use tools like life insurance to create that for you.
Okay.
So there's different ways in which we look at your particular portfolio, and we use monies that you're already spending, how you're spending it currently, and just divert that and create this strategy for you that's going to last you for your entire life.
Now that's awesome. That's awesome. And this money is tax-free and tax-free growth as well, right?
Yes. In this product, we have tax-free use of your money and tax-free growth of your money. If you think about it, everything else we do is taxed or tax-deferred. And most people, you know, believe in that because that's our current retirement system that's out there. It's tax deferred. That means you won't pay taxes, but you'll pay later on in life. This process is and creates tax-free use of your money and tax-free growth of your money.
So go to number seven now.
All right. Yeah, we can control debt and interest payments to the bank. You know, when you build a millennial banking concept strategy, you actually put yourself in a position to pay cash for different purchases, which means that you don't have to create financing terms or pay interest to others. That's their profit. Keep your profit in your pocket. Pay cash, negotiate the situation with leverage on your side. And that's a major piece that goes along with this strategy. Number eight is eliminating all debt. Remember, we talked about this in previous segments. That debt is a choice, you know, debt is a choice. I think we've gotten to a point in our society where we believe that we have to have debt, got to have a good credit score so we can borrow money. If we create a strategy, we can borrow money only if we need it. We can use cash when we want to.
Yes.
That gives us the control and us the power.
I remember when I had to get to the point where, you know, if I couldn't pay cash for it, I didn't need it. So, you know, I would save the money, till I got what I needed, and then I would just go buy it for cash. Because I've been in credit card hell, so I know what that's like. Never want to go back. And I do have a credit card, one, but I am a cash person.
I think that if you, as long as you can control that, you'll be okay.
Yep.
Because, see, a lot of times we don't have other strategies, and we believe that we have to operate through credit or what used to be the norm, OPM, other people's money.
Money, that's right.
There's times to do that, but the majority of time is to have your own source of funds. When you have your own source of funds, Twana, you actually have control over you.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that might happen in the economy, you can be proactive and not have to react to it.
Absolutely. What's next?
This also really creates another way to retire. You know, prior generations had pensions.
Mm-hmm.
Our generation has what is considered a 401k and Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you create a millennial banking concept strategy, then it gives you another source to retire. And some people are actually using it as the sole source because the other sources, again, have tax implications and government implications when you use those funds. So the idea is to create that tax-free bucket of funds. Did you know that only 60% of companies actually even have a retirement plan?
Yeah.
And only 53% of the people at those companies
participate. Yeah.
So there's still a gap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tax-free dollars?
Participating in retirement.
Yeah. It's amazing. It is amazing. And just a little bit. I mean, doesn't it go from 3 to 12% on that 401k?
Yeah, well, you know, they're always capped based on the government and how much you can put in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the funds are either invested or you have them in some type of bucket where
right.
you're to earn money on them. But as we know, in 2008, a lot of people lost money on them.
I did.
The market can be funny like that.
But you know what? You have to just hold on. You have to close your eyes and not look at it, not think about it. And 'cause the market came back up and I caught up really quick. I lost some good money during that time. But that's the chances you're going to take on any investment almost.
Yes, it is. But I tell you, if you use our strategies with millennial banking concept, you'll always have sources of funds that you can use.
Yes.
You'll know exactly what it is because, again, remember, you're the collateral.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole strategy based on life insurance is a guarantee because it's a contract. And so the idea is to have a bucket over here, a bucket over here, and then you could even have the 401k additional.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little more risky, but at the same time, we want to be assured that we're going to have a good retirement. That's the key.
Isn't it true that insurance is the only entity that is federal government free, that doesn't bounce over, doesn't go crazy, doesn't go up and down? Is that true?
Well, I can tell you, that it is one of them.
Okay.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
It has a tax code. That tax code is 7702, and it allows for the growth in an insurance policy. The one key of that is that, you know, anything that grows inside an insurance policy, the insurance policy is designed for the beneficiary.
Mm-hmm.
So those funds inside the insurance policy can be used by the owner of the policy. And the key in that situation is that you can use those funds for anything you'd like. So it really depends on how the policy is designed for use.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then you say to, you know, start reading about this 50-year-old strategy. Other races have been doing it since it began, and we're just kind of catching up, right?
Well, yes, and that's why I'm so excited because, you know, it's been a long time to understand insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to most people and they'll tell me that, you know, they believe insurance is pretty much just for funerals. And that's not true. Insurance policies have grown just like cell phones, just like new cars. And the idea that you can use these strategies while you're living is what always surprises folks. And that's what this whole millennial banking concept is riding on. He's writing on the idea that you can use this as a tool while you're living. It's an intricate part of your portfolio, and then you can pass it on to the next two generations if the contract is written properly. That's your human equity line of credit. That's what I'm talking about when we talk to millennials, because the earlier you start this process, the stronger it gets. And people hear that all the time, that insurance gets better with time. They say the best time to get your insurance policy was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The next best time to get your insurance policy is today.
Amen. Okay, right now. Right now. Right now. It's so true. And you know what? We have to teach our kids about money. They're not on purpose sharing anything about money and finances in the classroom because they want to keep society as a whole ignorant so they can continue to run the game, you know, so they can keep us in debt. So we've got to begin to turn around and teach our kids about money.
And that's coming. A lot of people are doing financial literacy programs. A lot of people are definitely emphasizing that today, and I'm really, really happy to see that. My thing is look at all types of programs.
Yeah.
You know, look at everything that you can. Make sure that managing money and the education around managing money is an integral part of your household. We always get education on how to go and get income,
mm-hmm.
how to go and find a job, how to get a career. But when we get the money in our hands, that's the most powerful time that we can have it. You know, they always talk about being a good steward. That means you got to be a good student of your money at the same time. So, you know, make sure that you're reading. I mean, I even offer a resource book list to my clients as we go through this process of millennial banking concept. It's not just something I do. It's something that I teach. I want you to come away with habits, creating a level of persistence and intention with this strategy so that you can continue to do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. We didn't have ATMs at one point, and now it became a habit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so if we can continue to build new habits with our money, we can continue to grow strong, keep our community strong. I see a lot online about people buying back the block.
Mm-hmm.
Real
mm-hmm.
estate is heavy, but we got to control our finances at the same time.
Absolutely. Great conversation about millennial banking concept. Now, look, Money Mastery Principle 4 is power down your debt and power up your fortune. Hit that one real quick.
All right. Yeah, Money Mastery Principle 4, powering down your debt means that we can start getting out of debt. We take a little strategy to pay off our debts one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Take the smallest debt, pay it off. We take the same amount of money that we're paying to the smallest debt, add it to the next one,
mm-hmm.
pay that one off. And it's a concept called snowballing your debt.
Okay.
The key is having the ability, once you pay that debt off, not to go back into debt.
Exactly.
That's why we say power up your fortune.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when we put you in a position to be debt-free, we incorporate the millennial banking concept to show you where to place your money. And then it begins a whole new life for you because, remember, debt is a choice.
Mm.
And so we're going to start moving into a direction where we're building assets and building our fortune. We're going to power down that debt first.
I love it. Look, Stephen LeBroy is going to be in the city next month. So we're going to try to have him at a live appearance somewhere. I don't know where yet, but I'll definitely let you know. Next month, we're going to be talking about your financial checkup. Savings, debt, taxes for 2018, and pre-planning. So very important in your strategy for wealth, right, Stephen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is, we're going into 2018. Let's be tax planning
mm-hmm.
because we don't want to always wait till the
it's
end
time.
Of the year and
right.
figure out, are we going to get something?
Right.
Let's plan.
Exactly.
And that's important.
Very important. Very important. Stephen, tell everybody how they can reach out.
Yes, I appreciate you. Steve@millennialbankingconcept.org, millennialbankingconcept.org. We're a not-for-profit organization. Or you can look at the concept at www.humanequitylineofcredit.com.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate you today. We're on all social media and look forward to being back with mm-hmm. you next month.
All right. Looking forward to it. Stephen LeBroy, Chief Strategist at the LeBroy Insurance Group, LLC. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.